Well, amen. I think we went to church this morning, right? That was a lot of fun. Richard did a backflip. Don says he's got a crick in his neck. And so I think we had a good time this morning worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And so thank you, worship team, for doing that today. Hands down, this is one of my favorite weeks of the year. It's tiring. It's exhausting. It's sacrificial. And there's a spiritual battle going on all around us throughout this week. But I'm just so thankful for a church that loves missions and has a desire to advance the gospel, not only here, but around the world. And I'm just so thankful that we have a church that makes that a priority and wants to keep the main thing the main thing. This morning, I'd like to take a quick, just very quickly introduce our missionaries that have been with us all week in case you haven't yet been able to meet them. But I'm going to start over here with the newborns. They're our missionaries to West Africa with the International Mission Board. Would you make them feel welcome this morning? Would you guys stand? Our North American Missionary Board missionaries to Kansas City, Missouri, and church planters, Don, Linnell, and your entire crew, would you guys stand, the ones that are in here? Make them feel welcome this morning. And then a good friend of mine that I've known for many years, Bradley and Kelly Edmondson, and they have 5 children, and so they're not all here today, but would you guys stand and make the Edmondsons feel welcome this morning? At the end of our service today, I'd like to just ask you, how many of you that are, and just if you're a guest today, give me a second just to have a chat with our church family. If you came in today and you weren't able to get a missions card, would you just lift your hand really quickly? I'd like to make sure that everyone that is here today that would like to have one of these cards, deacons, Mike, would you grab a couple of those cards in the back there and make sure we get those out? And as they're passing those out, this is what I want to ask you to do this morning. In just a moment, we're going to show his missions video, and then Bradley's going to come, his video for the field, and then he's going to come and open the Word of God this morning and just kind of share with us what God's laid on his heart about missions and how we might be challenged and how we might be inspired, not only to give, but to just be obedient to the Great Commission. And our missions offering every year, we give 10% of our budget that we bring in through our general offerings. We give 10% of that. All of that goes right out the door. In addition to that, once a year, I tell our church, hey, we want to know what it means to give a tithe and an offering. And so we're going to ask you to give by grace. And I've been saying in different settings I've been in all week, I was reading my Bible this week in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. I know that the inflation is soaring, stock markets are falling, the political agenda is super uncertain right now. But in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the Bible says that in much affliction and in deep poverty, they sacrificially gave by grace. And the reality is this morning, it's not about how much you give, but it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. And I know every year, and I don't know if it's like this for you, but every year something in my house breaks during the week of missions call. Every year. And you laugh about it, but this week Brianna calls me and says, Dad, I think I got a flat. And I'm like, drive it to the church. She pulls in running on the rim, right? And so I had to run it over there. And then that same day, we go to Silver Dollar City, taking the missionaries, trying to be a blessing and serve the Lord. And I get on a roller coaster, and my phone pops out of the back of the pocket. And right now, at the Outlaw roller coaster in Silver Dollar City, is a squirrel on Amazon buying nuts and, you know, doing all kinds of things on eBay. And so I've been without a phone for the last few days. My wife is like, thank God, that is a gift in and of itself. So, I mean, you know what I mean? It just seems like you can't win sometimes. So I'm just saying all of that to say this. I'm in this with you. And so we're not, again, asking for equal giving, but I just, as your pastor, from our little ones up, if you've got kids, I hope that you sit down with your kids this afternoon or today or that you've already done that. We've been doing this for years, but I hope that you'll sit down and consider what God would have you to give this year. And at the end of the service, Bradley's going to preach. During the message, I hope that you'll be praying. And not taking out your calculator, but just saying, God, what do you want me to give this year? And it's a weekly offering. It's not a one-time thing. It's faith promise. It's not a pledge. If you don't give it, we're not going to report you to the giving agencies or anything like that. It's between you and God. God, if I keep my job, if things stay financially the way they are right now, God, if you will bless, this is what I'm going to give every week for the next 52 weeks so that missionaries like these can go around the world and share the gospel. We're to pray, we're to send, and we're to give, and we're to go. And that's what God has called us to do. And so at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to fill those cards out, and then we're going to pass them into the middle. And then tonight, I'm going to announce the offering. If you haven't signed up for our missions banquet yet, there's still time to do that. We're going to have an incredible, incredible celebration service tonight. And I hope that everyone that's here this morning will be here tonight. Not only is the food going to be good, but we're just going to be a blessing to our missionaries. And so I trust and hope that you'll be able to make it back tonight. So with that being said, church, I love you. I'm glad that I get to be on this journey with you as we try to reach this world with the gospel. And the money that you give, I just want you to know, not even the money that you give, but the faith that you express. And some of it, it may not be money. It might be God's calling some young people to go to missions. It might be in this room today that some of our retired folks, God's saying, you need to take a missions trip. There might be some professionals in the room today. Bradley's going to talk about medical missions today. There might be some of you that say, you know, I need to take a week of vacation and go and serve in some of these third world countries that do not have access to the normal medicine. I mean, there's medicines that Bradley will tell you about today that we take for granted that if people in third world countries just had this, they would live, right? And so God might just touch your heart today. And I pray that he touches your heart today to take the next step, whether it's in generosity, going, sending, whatever it is. Listen to God today. So let's do this. Let's pray. And then, guys, if you'll hit that video here, and then Bradley will come and open God's word for us this morning. Father, we love you. Man, what an incredible service. What an opportunity that we had to celebrate you. God, you went to the cross. You loved us so much that you gave your very best. You sacrificed your only son so that we might be transformed from death to life. And God, this morning, we need to recognize that the moment that we were called, we were simultaneously called into the mission of God. The moment we were saved, we were simultaneously called into the mission of God. And part of our discipleship, part of our maturity, part of our growth and obedience, part of being who you've called us to be means learning and growing, maturing as a disciple, and then stepping into the mission of God and doing what you've called us to do. And I pray, Lord, for our church that we would unify around this vision, that we would unify around this mission, and that we would understand that no one in this room is a spectator, but that we are all supposed to be participants in going, reaching, giving, and serving those around us who do not yet know who Jesus Christ is. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We see it in their faces as they each take their turn to tell us their stories. They know about wounds. They understand pain and suffering because it is a part of their daily lives. They have faced trauma, abuse, and betrayal. They know poverty and hunger. They know rejection and loss. Are they so different from us? We have been called by his resurrection power to rise up. We rise up like Jesus did, finding victory over sin and death and discovering hope and healing in his name. We have a healer, and we can rise up to walk in new life because he did. And now we run to tell them the same. Medical Missions Outreach partners with local churches around the world to point hurting people to the great physician, whose heart breaks for them. The search for the healer brings approximately 2,000 people to each four-day clinic, where they will hear the message they need more desperately than any medicine. What has the healer done for you? You know brokenness and loss. You know sin and guilt. You know pain and death. But if you know the great physician, then you know resurrection. He has raised you up to walk in new life and to tell the world who has lifted you up. We want to help you reach the world with the gospel through giving, through praying, through serving those who still haven't heard there is a healer.
Well, first of all, let me say how thankful I am to be at Southgate today with y'all. What a blessing and a privilege it is to be back again. I love you guys. We are very grateful to have partners in ministry like you. Your love for our family, for what God's called us to do, continues to bless and encourage us. We've had a wonderful time being here with you this week. And I'm glad that Jason's given me the opportunity to come and try to be really, really, really heavy-handed in getting the money out of you today. Listen, Sarah McLaughlin and her dog commercial has got nothing on what I'm going to do to y'all today. No, I'm teasing. I wouldn't want your money if that was the case, in all honesty. I want people to be cheerful givers, people who want to give because God's laid it on their heart. I'll be honest with you. I look at it as far as our ministry goes, and I know these other folks that we've gotten a chance, these other missionaries, we've seen their heartbeat for what God's called them to do. It's a privilege to get to be involved in missions. It's a privilege to get to be involved in helping enable other people to carry out the calling that's on their life. It's kind of like getting in on Apple stock back in the 80s. You're getting in on ground level here where we're investing in a church plant in Kansas City and watching what God's going to do there. It's like investing in the 80s because if you had some of that stock now, you'd be living pretty well, wouldn't you? Listen, what God is doing in these ministries and the way God is beginning to work. Let me tell you this right now. I don't know what you've been seeing on your social media feed. I was telling the folks Friday. I don't know what you're seeing on your social media feed. I know what you're seeing in the news cycles right now, but I want you to know God is alive and God is doing fantastic things around this world. 2 weeks ago, I was in Mongolia up on the Russian border, the birthplace of shamanism. This is the birthplace of witchcraft in this area, and it has entrapped thousands upon thousands of people groups in this area, in this region. We were up there, and as we began ministering in this community, there was a Wednesday night. The windstorm came in over the mountains. The landscape of Mongolia is a lot like Wyoming. It's a very flat land, but there are some mountainous regions. The wind began coming in over the mountains. The next day, as we were starting clinic, one of the interpreters was sitting there, and I asked her, I said, "Hey, how are you this morning? How did you sleep last night?" She said, "Terrible." I said, "Terrible? What was the matter? Why didn't you sleep well?" She said, "Couldn't you hear it all night?" I said, "Oh, the wind?" She said, "No, not the wind. Couldn't you hear the shamans outside?" The shamans were gathered on the hillside across from where we were staying, and all night long they were beating drums and they were chanting these enchantments, and they keep the people in the region in fear. They would tell them that the wind is the spirit world coming to life, and the spirit world was there to judge them, and the spirit world was there to torment them, and so they would sing all night and chant all night and beat these drums, and she said, "It terrified me all night." I was so thankful that I was able to say to that lady that day, "Listen, our God is bigger than anything they can chant about. Our God controls the wind. Our God handles all of these fears and these things that you may have. He is the Prince of Peace. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy and a God of hope." As we were working that week, we had a lady who came in. She began telling our staff about some depression that she was going through, some emotional issues that she had going on in her life, how it translated into her physical life, how was that affecting her physically. And as she sat there with the interpreter who was with the Campus Crusades for Christ, had come up, she was a believer, Mongolian born and raised, but had come to know Christ as her Savior. And as she's telling her all of these things, she said, "But the minute I walked into this building, there was a peace in here that I don't know anything about." She said, this was so different. Each of you are different, and I want to know more. And that interpreter began to sit with her, and for the next hour would share with her why Jesus is not just another God to put on your shelf, but he is the way, the truth, the life, and you can't get to God the Father any other way but by Jesus Christ. And by the end of that conversation, this woman wanted to put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God is doing great things. Listen, I want you to know, this year alone, your faithful support of Medical Missions Outreach, just our ministry, just ours, this does not include all the other things that your church is involved in. Our ministry alone, you've enabled us to go already to 15 different countries. We've already been able to help over 23,000 patients coming through our clinics. They've received medical care, dental, physical therapy, optical care, surgical, public health education. You've enabled us to do this free of charge for every single one of those patients. And get this, over 2,400 of those patients told us that they wanted to start a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We've seen churches being started. Listen, we've seen churches like yours being strengthened and enabled to go and reach their community better. And this is because of you. This is because you're saying, God, whatever I have is yours. God, you take my life, you take my funding, you take all of these things, God, use it for your glory. And God is using you to do so much. If you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 16 with me this morning. Listen, I'm going to talk fast, so y'all got to listen fast, all right? I am from Alabama, but I married a Yankee, and she taught me how to talk fast. And so I'm going to talk really fast. So y'all got to listen quick. But I want to encourage you this morning. I want to hopefully get you to just consider more about what God is going to do in and through your life, how God is going to use this missions conference to impact the way you think of global evangelization. And as we prepare ourselves, as we think through this weekend and the emphasis that the church is putting on missions, we're being challenged to be on mission. And I believe that there's a lot of ways that we could contextualize this theme to challenge us in a missional lifestyle, in a missional heartbeat. We know without doubt that it is the church's responsibility to get the gospel into the world. It's our job, it's our responsibility according to Scripture, it's our responsibility to get the gospel out into the world. And listen, I believe that if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you love him, that love in turn is really going to cause you to have a passion for others to know him, regardless of their location, regardless of their race, regardless of their culture, regardless of the cost. I want people to know the same Christ I know. Think about it just for a moment. The songs we've been singing, they touch your heart because you know where you were when Christ found you. You know what it was like the day you heard that beautiful name of Jesus Christ and you called on him to be your Savior. Do you remember what it was like that day that you asked him to forgive your sins and you felt that weight roll away? Don't you remember what it's like those nights that you felt lonely, those times that you felt defeated when you've called on his name and you felt the power of Christ speak into your heart and change you and bring you back to life and give you that newness that you want to continue fighting and walking and serving him more? Listen, don't you want other people to know that too? Don't you want other people to know the hope of our Savior? I believe if we love him, it causes us to want to have this, that we want to be a part of this. I personally believe that we're in need of a revival in missions to accomplish this task. I think we've watched a growing trend over the last few decades as more and more American missionaries are leaving the field than going into the field. And listen, I know the reasons, the excuses are many, the frustrations are high, the disappointments are great, but the need is still evident. The task is still unfinished. We've listened this week as we've heard of West Africa and country after country, millions upon millions of people where the name of Jesus Christ is not preached, it's not known. They need the gospel in their language. They need more people to go. The task is unfinished. Until our churches have a passion for missions, man, until we have a global burden to see people come to know Christ, until we really have a deep belief in the horrors of hell. Listen, I hope you know today, this is one of those things that we don't like to talk about very much, but there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to miss. And until we have a deep belief in the horrors of what hell and eternity separated from God Almighty will be like, we're going to continue to fail miserably. We're going to fail to pray. We're going to fail to give, to go. And we've got to get beyond where we are today. We've got to think beyond these walls. We've got to come to the end of ourselves, and we've got to allow him to take us beyond and be challenged on what it's like to be on mission. in Acts chapter 16, we have a great passage of scripture here because he starts off, and I think he's starting in verse number 5, just like I was trying to tell you a minute ago. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Hey guys, there's great things going on. There are people being saved. We were in West Africa too. We served in Cote d'Ivoire. We had been serving over there. The missionary told us that they wanted to get into a village. We're seeing God do great things. I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. But we saw lives changed. We're seeing people being changed by the gospel of Christ. We're seeing people in Asia, in Central America, in East Africa, in South America. We're seeing lives change. God is doing great things all over this world. Verse number 6, now when they had gone out through Phrygia in the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Boy, that's a whole lot of countries and cities right there. He's sitting there saying, listen, we are excited. We want to get the gospel out. We want to go everywhere we possibly can. We're praying. We're walking. We're looking. We're seeking people that we can share the gospel. Verse number 8, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. I think this is really interesting here. As the writer's describing to us, we wanted to go to countries. We wanted to go to cities, but there were sometimes God shuts that door. What I gather from that is my calling in life is not going to be the same calling in life that you have. Every single one of us have different giftings. Every single one of us have different skill sets. And every one of us have different ministry opportunities that come about for us. I'm a medical missionary. That's what God's called me to do. This is what I want to be spent my life doing is being a medical missionary. That's what God's called me to do. I don't have the same skill sets. I'm not called to be in Kansas City and be an inner city church planter. That's not what God's equipped me to do. I wouldn't probably have the same effectiveness in that context because God has given me a different skill set. God has given me a different opportunity. We're all different, but here's the thing about it. What's beautiful about this passage of scripture is that he wants to be used. God, just open doors. I'll go anywhere. God, you show. God, you illuminate the pathway here, and I'll follow you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He'll take you where he wants you to go. The problem is we have too many people that are sitting on the bench in church today and they're not even asking God where to send them. They're not even looking for opportunities to share the gospel. They're not concerned for others around them. Here he's saying, hey, I want to go. I'm looking for God to open doors. I want to go into these cities. I want to reach these people groups, but God hasn't done that yet. But I love the beauty of verse number 9, and we're going to really concentrate all of our time and our efforts in verse number 9 this morning. In fact, let's just break it down piece by piece as we look at this verse. The first part here is very interesting to me. If you look at these first four words, it says, and a vision appeared. Now, to me, this is the anomaly of missions. This is really the anomaly of missions here because Paul, it does not say in this passage of scripture, Paul has a vision. That's not what this says at all. This actually says when Paul has this vision, this is when God impresses on him the love of God for all men. This was a vision that appeared. This is an amazing moment where God himself is impressing on Paul the need for others to hear the gospel. This is people he had not met. These are people that he does not know whatsoever. He does know, he's unfamiliar with them. These are people that need to hear the life-transforming message of God's love. And while John may have known about and wrote about the love of God for all people around the world and this transforming message of God's love here, this is what Paul needed. He's clearly seeing from God, and this is a moment God is changing his heart, and he's burdening him for people that he's not met yet. And this is something that's spectacular. In fact, the word vision here, it has the idea of something that's a spectacle. It's something that he's gazing at. He can't take his eyes off of. This is that moment where his heart is being opened to the fact that there are all kind of people around me. They're everywhere, and they are needing the gospel message to go to them, to reach them. This is something that captures his attention, that really has his focus, that centers his direction. And I believe that this something, if I can put it this way, the spectacle that would do this to him is the spectacle of God and his only begotten Son who would die for a lost world, God who's rich in mercy, that would command his love, that would give his only son, that would do it for all sinners, the gluttons, the drunkards, the abusers, the liars, the thieves, adulterers, unrighteousness, the least deserving, even me. This is that spectacle that Paul is seeing. It's every single human being needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the anomaly. This is one of those things where we don't say that there's only a few chosen people. No, this is a gospel available to everyone. This is not about the people who can make it to Jesus Christ. This is the one that's supposed to go out and reach every other person, telling them the gospel is for them. It's available for all. But he continues on. It's a vision appears, but then there stood a man of Macedonia. And for me, this is really the actuality of missions. The reality of missions is people. I hope you understand this morning that whenever I try to tell you about the 20,000 patients or whatever it is that we have served this year, I hope you understand I'm not trying to just impress you by throwing out a bunch of numbers. I'm not trying to impress you by just saying, hey, that's just this incredible myriad of people. I hope you understand that every single one of those people have a name. Every single one of those people have an eternal destiny. And we're trying to reach the individual person to tell them that Jesus Christ loves them. We've misaligned Scripture. We've misunderstood the heart of God if we fail to equate missions with people. It's people of all backgrounds. It's people of all colors, speaking different languages, participating in different cultures and customs. It's dirty people, mean people, working people, rich people, hurting people, corrupt people. It's people in foreign lands that are dying without knowing Christ as their Savior. I hope you realize tonight that there are people in Yemen that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people in China, in Sudan, in Nepal, in Suriname, in Angola. There are Muslims, there's Buddhists, there's Taoists, there's Jews, there's Sikhs, there's animists. There are people that need Jesus Christ, and we need to ask God, show us their faces, please. I hope when you look at these videos, it's not just these faces that are just a blur to you, that these are people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. When your news cycle hits and they start talking about global disasters and the global pandemics that are hitting, when you watch and you see the murders that are happening in the cities around our world, as you look at your local newspaper and you see the hurt and destruction everywhere, I hope you understand that these are people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what missions is all about. It's about the individual. It's about getting to them and letting them know. God, help us to see their faces. God, help us to hear their hurt, to know their needs. God, show us the ones with these tribal markings or the ones with the square jaws, the almond eyes. Show us the various shades of skin. Let us hear their amazing languages. Help us to get over our differences and our misunderstandings. God, get us beyond ourselves so that we no longer see our desires and our little kingdoms and our goals and all the treasures that we're trying to set up for ourselves. God, help us to get beyond those things and see these beautiful people that you've created that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that every single one of them matter. I'll never forget being in the Philippines. We were in General Santos City, and it would have been, I may have told you this story, so forgive me if I have, but man, it had been just an incredibly difficult week. I mean, it was patient after patient. We had thousands of patients coming to this clinic. I think by the time it ended, we had seen like 3,700 patients in 4 days. They were lined up, and we had a really great team. We had a very strong team, a lot of great providers on this team. But it was just one thing after the next, and it was kind of like having PSD to some degree. I mean, it was just like if I hear one more horrible disease, if I see one more person that there's nothing we can do about, this is getting to me, Lord. This is getting heavy. I was sitting in the pharmacy when one of our emergency room physician from Canada who was partnering with us came up to me, and she just had tears streaming down her face. I said, "What is the matter? What's going on?" And she said, it's a patient that's sitting at my table right now. And she began telling me about this patient, and she said, the blood pressure on this patient is dropping so quickly. This patient is not going to survive much longer. And she said, and I just feel so helpless. It's been one case after the next today, and I feel so helpless. And I looked at her and said, okay, well, just a minute. Your patient can't die at your station. We don't want people to think this is something we've caused. We you know, they may think we've done something. So I went down to the station, and it was an older gentleman, and I just kind of scooped him up in my arms, and I walked back, and there was kind of a room off to the side of the pharmacy where I was working. I took him into this room, and there were some mattresses there, and I laid him down on the mattress, and I asked a couple of the nurses. I said, can we start some IV fluids? Let's get his pressure up a little bit. And I looked at him, and I began speaking to him and his wife. I said, sir, from what I've read on your history, you understand that you have end-stage tuberculosis. Yes, I do. You understand that there's nothing. We don't have the medications, and this has gone so far. You've progressed so far. There's nothing we can do about your situation, right? He says yes to me. I looked at his wife. I said, you understand the complications that's going on here? She said yes. I said, you understand that it looks like you could pass any moment. Do you understand that? And he looked at me, and very solemnly the whole time, he was very flat in his affect, and he said, yes, I understand. I said, we're going to get you stable, and you don't want to be with us when you pass. You want to be with your family. We're going to get you home. We want you to be at home, be surrounded by those that you love. But before I let you go, I looked at him. I said, sir, what happens after you die? What happens when you close your eyes and this life is over? Do you know what's next? For the first time, he began to show emotion. His eyes welled up with tears. His lip began to quiver. And with the scaredest look that will never leave my heart for the rest of my life, he looked at me and said, no, and I'm scared. I said, would you allow me to have one of the pastors come in and share with you what happens and how you can know for sure that heaven could be your home, how you could have peace with God eternally? He said, yes, I would love that. And one of those pastors came in, and in Tagalog, not in English, in Tagalog, spoke straight to his heart, began to share with him, you were created in the image of God. You deserve dignity and respect. That's the reason why this medical team cares for you. But more than any of the comforts of this life, more than anything that they can give you hope for living tomorrow, let me tell you about the hope of eternity. Missions is all about talking to the individuals. It's about making sure that we're getting the gospel message out to everyone we possibly can. And this is what this is about. This is the actuality for him to see this day. It's about this man standing there wanting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, the verse continues on. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him. This is the appeal of missions. I hope you realize today. I hope you understand today that there is a call from God to go, but there is a call from people asking us to come. They're asking us to come share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not a week goes by that our offices do not get some type of email, some kind of message through social media. Please, will you come to our village? Please, will you come to our city? Please, will you come and help us? Please, will you come and share hope with us? There are countless that want to hear. They want to know God. They want to know his peace. They want to know assurance. They want to know forgiveness. They want to know what happens after this life. They want to know true love and joy. They want to hear your testimony. They want to sing songs and hymns. They want to start Bible studies. They want to be discipled. They want to experience this for themselves and for their families. They want to know our God. I told you earlier we were in Cote d'Ivoire. The missionary told me for years we've been trying to get into a little village called Moto Bay. We've been trying to get in there for years, ever since our ministry has begun expanding to the south side of this country. He said, we've been trying to get into this village, but the chief is very proud of the fact that there is no church in his village, that they are complete animists. They worship their ancestors. They have a spirit worship there, and they are very proud of the fact that there has been no Christian infiltration into their village. He said, but I stopped by the other day and told him that there was an American medical team coming into the community. For the first time, he said, oh, we would love for them to come see our people. He said, here's the catch, chief. The medical team can only come if our church people come with them. Okay, I'll give you one day. One day your church people can come, and one day the medical team can come and help our people. Man, we got there, and we knew about this as a medical team. I had already told our providers, our whole team, hey, guys, let's bathe this thing in prayer. We're in this community. We have one chance to shine our light as bright as we possibly can and share the hope of Jesus Christ the best we possibly can. So make sure to love those patients. Make sure that they know how much you care for them. Make sure to let's do our best to help every single patient that comes in the door that day. We had no idea. It was a zoo. I'm telling you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people showed up. We started working as fast as we could. Now, granted, working fast does not mean that we're not giving ethical care. We were giving very ethical care. We were sitting down individually speaking with them, hearing their hurts, hearing their pains, and doing our best to alleviate them, helping with health care plans, giving glasses, different things that we were able to do that day. And we were working hard. I walked out and I looked at the church people, and there they were, and it was a beautiful sight as they were sitting down with people and praying for them, asking God to heal them and to ease the pain that they may have been in, and that the glasses would be effective and what they needed. And then they were opening their Bible and telling them, you matter to God. God sent his only begotten son for you. He commended his love for you. He knew that you were a sinner, and yet Christ died for you anyways, and he wants to have a relationship with you. It was a beautiful, beautiful sight. And man, at the end of the day, we were absolutely wore out. The sun was setting. We were gathering all of our supplies. It had been a very long, hard day. And as we were walking out to the bus, the chief was standing by the gate, and he met me, and I said, Chief, thank you so much for allowing us to come to your village. He said, I'll give you one more day. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. That's fine. We'll come back. The church people are coming with us. That's the only way we're going to be here. That's fine. They can come too. The next day we showed up. Man, same thing. I mean, the line was out of control, and we were working all day long, same exact thing, all day long. It was just a beautiful thing to watch God, the body of Christ working together like that. End of the day, we go walking out, exhausted again. I could not wait to get home, get a shower, and just fall in the bed, and the chief is standing there, one more day. All right, man, you got to make up your mind. All right, one more day, we'll be here tomorrow. Challenge accepted. We went back the next day, same thing again. You can probably guess what happened at the end of that day too. One more day. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. At the end of that day, he's standing by the gate and he says, one more day. And I said, Chief, we can't. I got plane tickets tomorrow. I got to get all these people home. They have to go back to families. They have to go back to jobs. We have to go back to America. But let me tell you this, Chief. You know who's not going home? These missionaries. You know who's going to their house just up the street? These church people, and they would give anything to keep coming back here. They'd give anything to keep telling your people how much they're loved. They'd give everything to be able to come back and continue helping with benevolent care and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would love to keep coming back. Hey, praise God that today there's a little church in Motho Bay. There's a Bible study that's been going on. There's lives that are being changed because this is what it's all about. It's about people who actually do want us to come. They do want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have missionary friends that are all over the coast of North Africa. We have missionary friends that are in the Middle East, and they're having more and more and more people who are disenfranchised with the Islamic faith who are saying, there's really nothing to this. There's really no substance to this. We want to know more. We want to know what happens in eternity. We want to have security in our beliefs, and they're wanting to know more about our Christ, but guess what? We don't have enough people going. We need folks like you. We need folks like you who might say, well, Bradley, I'm in the fourth quarter of life. I just retired. Guess what? There's still there's ample opportunities for you to share your faith. There's some of you who say, just like Pastor Jason said earlier, you've got a couple or multiple weeks of vacation coming up. Listen, I need people like you who would just say, Bradley, I don't do medicine. That's okay. Come serve with me. I can teach you some easy, simple things. Where's Larry and Joyce? You talk to them. They'll tell you, we can get you involved. You can help our ministry reach more people. There's folks in here today, you do have a medical background. You have been gifted. You have been given a skill set by God. You could take that skill set and use it for God's glory by coming and partnering with us and working on another part of the world, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some of you who could go to Kansas City and be a part of a church plant and help them continue to see this ministry grow. Some of you could be used in West Africa to teach the gospel and disciple believers. There's some of you who can go to places we haven't mentioned this week. The reality is there's people who need you to come. They want to hear the gospel message. And you know what? Let's don't limit it to the other side of the world. There's people across the street right here in Springfield that need you. Oh, man, the barista that you're seeing on a regular basis when you go to get your coffee, have you ever stopped to think that maybe she's a single mom who's struggling, who doesn't even know how she's going to put food on the table for her kids? She's working two or three jobs, and she feels hopeless. She feels like nobody cares about her. She's struggling and just hoping you'll put a tip in the jar, but maybe you can only do that and more by inviting her to church, by getting involved in her life, your next-door neighbors that are fighting like cats and dogs and their marriage is breaking apart and they need somebody who will just intervene and say, hey, can I just pray with you? Can we have you over for dinner? Can you come and sit with me at church? I'd love to take you out for lunch. Let me give you a little pamphlet here from our church that just shares a little bit more about what we believe. People want to hear the gospel. They want to be changed. They don't want another religion. They don't want another God to add to their shelf. They want and need the true God of the universe, the creator, the sustainer, the king of kings, the lord of lords. And listen, while there may be a need for medicine or clean water, mosquito nets, education, they need the gospel. And let me tell you this, your church, I'm thankful that you enable us to use medicine, but never, ever, ever mistake this. We are not a humanitarian group. There's plenty of fantastic humanitarian groups. That is not us. We're an evangelistic team that happens to use medicine to get the gospel out because we believe the main thing is still the main thing, and it is Jesus Christ, his power, his life-saving, transformational gospel message, and that is what it's all about. We've got to go beyond. We've got to share this gospel message. The verse continues on where the man says, come over into Macedonia. This is the appraisal of missions. I hope you understand that this man asked Paul to come. There was no promise of funding. There was no reimbursement plan. There was no contract of hours needed. There was no safety plan to go over. It was just simply come. We're beyond where you are right now, but we want to hear. We want to be saved. And it's up to us to support those who can go. It's going to cost us money. It's going to cost time. Listen, it's even going to cost lives. But the price is far too high for us not to send the gospel message. It is far too high to let people slip into an eternal hell than for us to give up the comforts of this life to go and reach them. J. Hudson Taylor spoke of a journey to China in which he met a man and befriended him whose English name was Peter. Each day they would speak and Taylor would share the gospel. Taylor was convinced that soon this man was going to place his trust in Christ. As they neared the shore of a stopover along the journey, J. Hudson Taylor prepared to go ashore, and suddenly he heard a loud splash in the water. There was people running and shouting all over the deck. Taylor ran up and quickly assessed that his friend Peter was missing. A person shouted and pointed to the place where he had fallen overboard, and Taylor jumped in. Multiple attempts proved futile, but he noticed there was a fishing boat with dragnets nearby. Come quickly and help us, he yelled. We're too busy, said the fisherman. A man is in danger. I'll pay you. How much? 3 gold coins. That's too little. We'll come for 30. I don't have that much, but I'll give you everything I have. How much is that? About 12 gold coins. The men came, and on their first pass with the net, pulled Peter into the boat. But it was too late. Peter was dead. J. Hudson Taylor tells of how he shared this story as he returned on a furlough back to England, and the indignation and the contempt that fell on the faces of the people in the congregation that day. Their disgust with the greedy fishermen. The words they mumbled under their breath until he asked them, but what of the millions that are dying right now? What of those that sit under the condemnation of God's eternal judgment? What of the countless that need to hear of his salvation right here, right now? What would it take for us to go beyond? What would it take for us to live on mission? Where every day we understand it's a gift from God that I can even breathe and I need to glorify him with every breath that I have. What about it for us to live on mission where we understand that every paycheck, every penny that goes into that bank account is by God's good graces alone as it is? And while I'm able to use some of that for my comforts and some of my needs, that I would give back to him. That my yes truly is a yes. It is a blank check, God, whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want, to whoever you want, I'll be used by you to go and reach them. You have to understand that there absolutely is an appraisal for missions. And then he finishes off the verse when he tells Paul, come over into Macedonia and help us. That is the advancement of missions. The thought of being used of God to help others is so incredibly humbling. I think I can speak for the missionaries that are in the room this morning. When I say the fact that God has called us does not make us some kind of superheroes. We're people just like you. God just gave us a different calling. But it is absolutely humbling to be there. It's humbling to be used of God. That I have a little girl named Maya that lives in the Philippines. She was born with a congenital issue. And when she came into the clinic to see us, the doctors in the Philippines had done everything they could, but to be honest with you, it was not something that was going to save her life. she was going to have a crippling issue for the rest of her life unless somebody intervened. I just happened to be there. And because I had people like you who were backing me, who were holding the rope so that I could go over, I was able that day to say, hey, we can do something about this. We can absolutely give a life-changing medical procedure here that'll give her the opportunity to grow up and be a healthy, normal little girl. We can take away the stigma that's on her right now. We can provide relief and comfort to mom and dad who emotionally are struggling dealing with this with their child. We can help mom and dad who are overwhelmed by the care that they need to provide for this daughter. We can do all of that, and we can do it in Jesus' name. We can do it because God's loved us so much that our hearts overflow with love, and we can't help but love you too. This is what each and every one of us have the opportunity to do, to love others because we've been loved. We can count them worthy because we were counted worthy. We can give the gospel because we were given the gospel. I can't do the saving, I can't do the changing, but to think of being used for that purpose is absolutely incredible. It's a privilege knowing that if we live on mission, if we go beyond, if we give beyond, that we could be used to bring eternal help to others. What an incredible blessing. This morning, my question is simple for you. How far are you willing to go? How much are you willing to give? Is it the status quo for you? Same old, no increase, no really change whatsoever? Or today, can you clearly say, God, I want you to give me a vision of how you'll use me. Don't let me see this the way I want to see it, God. But just like this passage of Scripture, you impress on my heart. God, you open my eyes to what you can do through me, through my wallet, through my time, through my skill sets, through my opportunities. God, you show me how you will use me. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for this passage of Scripture. And as we turn our hearts towards you this morning, oh God, challenge us. God, please, I'm begging you, don't let us leave this building the same way. Every single one of the people that are in this room, you've blessed them. You've given them a personality. You've given them skill sets. You've given them finances and opportunities. And you've given them the mental capacity to know and understand your love for them. God, help us to be changed by that. That this morning, we would bend our hearts towards you. That we would be willing to submit to what you're trying to call us to do. This passage of Scripture, Paul could have easily walked away. He could have ignored it. He could have looked at it as a bad dream. But it says in the next verse that he immediately went. He immediately did what you were calling him to do. God, today, would that be our testimony as well? That immediately, right here, right now, we would follow after the direction you're calling us towards. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the band is up here and they're going to lead us in a worship song. Would you stand to your feet with me? All around the room. If the Lord's working on your heart, maybe it's a way that you're going to serve, a location. Maybe it's here in Springfield, around the world, that he's calling you to. Oh, would you surrender to that today? Maybe it is this card here, and you looked at that, and you looked at different amounts, and you've already started thinking about it, praying about it. Today, would you surrender to what it is he's calling you to do, the vision that he's laying on your heart of how he's going to use you to change people for his glory? Maybe this morning you want to come to an altar and just lay it all at his feet. God, take my life. Let it be used for your glory. God, work in our hearts today. As the music begins, as the band begins to sing and play, if the Lord's working in your heart, why don't you come to this altar and join us in prayer. God, use our church to impact this world. God, give us a vision to see souls in need of your gospel.